Well, I feel honored to be able to share with everyone again today. I really feel that God's been really doing some things in my life that he wants me to share with you. So this message today is one that is real personal to me because it's something God's really been imparting and just bringing to light in a new way in my life. So let's just open in prayer and we'll go into it. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity today. I just pray that our hearts would be open for what you have. I just pray that, Lord, our ears would be on and listening, and that we'd be accepting and receiving of what your word is that comes forth today. I just pray that all the words that come out of my mouth would be of you, and that would be nothing of me, Lord. But lead me and guide me today as I share. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I want to move this up, so maybe just as far as it goes.
No, it'll go up.
Okay. That way I don't feel like I'm looking just so far down. All right, so I want to ask you, when you woke up this morning, were you like, yes, another day? Were you like, I have so much to give today. I'm blessed. I'm excited. I have everything I could ask for. God supplies all my needs. I am just ready for the day. Is that how you wake up this morning or woke up this morning? Yesterday morning, the day before? If you're like me, probably not. yesterday I was like, oh, I just could use another hour and get that coffee going. And soon after I'm out of bed, I start thinking of all the things of I have to do that day or that week. And I want to start out, though, by going back to feeling the blessings and feeling the excitement and the encouragement and the feeling like we have something to give. Because we need to remember how God sees us when we wake up in the morning, before we start our day. We need to remember that Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. We need to remember those things. Our Almighty, our all-powerful, the one who created the universe, took times to make plans for us. And they're good plans. I don't want you to be like, oh, so it's him that made my life the way it's been. It's been pretty crummy lately. Because it's not. If our life isn't prospering and having, if you don't have hope in your day, if you're not feeling like you have a great future ahead of you, then I encourage you to look and see, are you on his plans? Because he doesn't force us to live the plans that he has. Everything we have is by free will. And he gives us a choice, but they are there for us. But to go back on how he thinks of us, Psalms 139 says that he took and he knit us together in our mother's wombs, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are a marvelous work, that he sees us as wonderful, that not only that, but he thinks of us all the time. It says if we were to count the thoughts he has for us, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. I don't know about you, but if you ever looked at just the beach, I don't think he's talking about one beach. It's the grains of the sand of the earth. That's a lot of thoughts about us. And not only that, he wrote every day for us out in his book before one of them came to be. Now, if you think about that, that is a lot to take in. That is a lot of God putting his attention on us as a person, as a child of God. Because we are that special to him. We are that valuable to him. And so many times it's so easy to forget how he sees us. And when we forget that, it's so easy, we'll go into about how we feel overwhelmed and forget about the promises we have in him. But I want to remind you, he didn't even just stop there about thinking about us and giving us plans or making plans for us to prosper. He didn't just stop at saying, okay, you know, yeah, you're special and I plan things. I think about you a lot. But because we fell short of his glory, he didn't want to have that separation between us. And so he not only thinks about us and made plans for us, he didn't say, oh, well, now they screwed it up. He made a way to fix it. And he sent his son to give us hope. It says in John 3:16, he gave his one and only son so we don't have to perish, but we can have eternal life. It's a gift. It's not something we earned. It's not something that we have to earn. It's a gift. We've got that eternity with Him now if we choose to believe in Him. And so now I'm trying to go over this because this is just really kind of the basics of what I have to give you more of. So bear with me if it feels like it's stuff you kind of know, but it's really important to grab on that He has seen us as valuable. He has seen us as important. He has seen us. He gave His Son for us because we meant that much to Him. And He didn't even stop there. But He said, you know what, if you believe, now I'm going to call you my son. Now I'm going to call you my daughter. So He didn't even just stop at saying, okay, well, I gave my son for you, so now we can have eternity together. But no, He said, no, now you're my child. You receive my son, you're my child now. You're in my family. And like I said, it's nothing we deserve. So it's not something to get all puffed up about. It's something to be humble about. Like, wow, I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything. This great Almighty God sees something in me. It's something to receive and to get excited about, yes, but to remain grateful and humble at the same time. So, He calls us His children. You can see that in Romans 8:15 or Ephesians 1:5 talks about how, and go to Ephesians, I'm going to just quote Ephesians 1:5 to you, and it's through 6. It says, in love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of the glorious grace which He has freely given us in He who loves. So He predestined us. It wasn't like He hopes that we're going to accept. Well, He does hope, but His plans are for us to receive the gift He's given us and to be His sons and daughters. It's something in that book of where His plans are written is that we would receive that gift. And then it's not that we just have eternity, like I said before, but then He has so many more promises that come with it. That He gives us joy. He gives us peace and hope and life. He gives us comfort and wisdom and so much more. He gives us life if we receive it. But if we have all this, and even maybe you're thinking, okay, this is stuff maybe that I'm kind of familiar with or stuff that I've heard before. If we have this in us, then why don't we get up in the morning excited? Why don't we get up in the morning saying, wow, I have something to give. Who is in my life today that I can give what I have to? If we know this, is it just here we know it? Or is it in us? Is the Spirit bearing witness with us in the morning that we are His sons and daughters? Is the Spirit bearing witness what He has given into us? So my first thing that I want you to remember is how God sees us, and that's what we just went over. The second thing is, what are we seeing? When we get up in the morning, are we just seeing, oh, okay, I'm going to have to deal with my boss. He hasn't been real happy with me. I'm going to have to deal with... I think of daycare parents because they're the ones I deal with, and sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the kids that are difficult. But I start thinking about my day and who they have coming and what, the circumstances of the week or the day before were and what they're going to be, or do I have to confront somebody, or, I start getting my mind going on all the things that are going to happen in that day or all the things that I have to do after daycare. Okay, I have this going on and I got to get Allie to dance. And you start thinking of all the different things. And if you put your focus on them, they're going to consume you. They're going to steal your joy. They're going to steal your peace. They're going to steal the things that God's given to us. Because our eyes no longer are on Him, but they're on the circumstances. And when we spend the time in our day focused on them circumstances, we lose sight of everything else. We start to live in fear about circumstances that are coming about. We start to live in doubt. We start to live in worry because those are the things that we're focusing on. And those are things that the Bible mentioned, or Jesus mentions to His disciples when they were walking in fear or doubt or worry. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Those are three things that go with the words, oh, ye of little faith. And when we are walking in them things, our faith is not on Him. Our trust is not in Him. They're in us trying to make this work or us trying to get these things done. And when we're in those things, we're being tossed to and fro by the things of the day, by the circumstances of the day. Our emotions are on a roller coaster. Our days, some days are good, oh, now, but now they're bad. I don't know about you, but I know some people that are very by the emotions, by the things of the day. And you'll talk to them 1 minute, and they're like, so excited, everything's so great. And you'll run into them in the hall 5 minutes later at somewhere, and oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they're just consumed by everything because something turned. And now there's a different circumstance. And oh my gosh, life is going to end. It's not going to work out. And oh my goodness. But that's what happens when our eyes are on the things around us instead of on our author, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And James 5:25 says, if we feed the flesh, our spirit becomes weak. But if we feed the spirit, the flesh becomes weak. So what that means to me is when we are got our eyes on Jesus, the things of our flesh, Pastor talked about a couple weeks ago about the spirit, soul, and body. And the soul is part of our body. It's our emotions, which are real. We feel. And it's not like we want to shut our emotions off and never feel anything, but we don't want them to rule our day. And our flesh is that soul, is how I think of when I read it. And it's, okay, if we're letting our soul and our feelings dictate everything, then our spirit is getting weaker and it's not as strong in our say in life. But if we are focused on the things of God and the spirit of God, then our emotions can't rule because we're focused on the promises and we don't get so up in a bunch right away. You know, we don't get so tossed by the winds because we know that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. We know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We know that He supplies all our needs. So it won't matter the circumstance because we know what He says. And His promises are yes and amen. And His promises are going to be because He's God and He doesn't lie. So we won't go by what we're seeing at the moment. But if we are living with our eyes on their circumstances, which are so easy to do, we lose all those feelings of joy and excitement and peace because we're being tossed by their circumstances and they're consuming us. And I have a movie clip I want you guys to watch. It's from the movie In Time. And just kind of to catch you up about what's going on so you kind of understand, try to pick clips that don't ruin the movie but make some good points. So in this movie, everything is in time. After you turn 25, you have a clock that's 1 year on your wrist that turns on. And that is what you have left of your life. And then you work to earn more time, but you also have to pay with the time you earn. So that's kind of what's going on when you see on her wrist. That's the time she has left in her life that she has to pay for.
Jake.
2 hours.
It's always been an hour.
Well, now it's two. Price went up.
Since when?
Since today.
My son is meeting me. He'll pay the difference.
Can't do that. Policy.
Please. It's a 2-hour walk. I have an hour and a half.
Then you better run.
anybody that she passed, any of those people could have given her time. But they were too focused on their own things, or what they had or didn't have. When we have our eyes on ourselves, we can't see the people around us that are dying inside, that are hurting. We can't see them people because we're so focused on us and our circumstances when we have what they need. Let's not continue to live this way. Let's not continue to live. I'm talking to myself too, because like I said, this is something God's been dealing with me deep. I feel that it's a very deep thing He's been doing within me. We don't have to be worried. He says He takes care of all our needs and all the things in our life are taken care of. If we are living according to the way He wants, His plans are made for us and we can live in them and be sure that we're taken care of and we have what we need. But we also have what they need that they don't even know they need. Or some maybe do know they need it, but they haven't had anyone take the time to reach out. So now, the key, and I've kind of probably figured out, is but to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to turn to Philippians 4. I'm going to do verse 4. If you remember from last time, way I remember to get there is, go eat potato chips, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's just the way I remember which order they're in to find it. So that was for free. Little tip. Philippians 4, verse 4, and we're going to read through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's some key things there. So, actually, I think there's a lot in there. But first, rejoice. We should be happy. We should be excited. We have so much. We've been given everything we need. We've been given more than we need, more than we deserve. We don't have to worry. With all things being in prayer, our God takes care of us and takes care of those we love. So pray. Make our requests known to Him. But then think on the promises that He gives us. Don't focus on the circumstances. After we've prayed and presented it to God, it's no longer our concern. We don't have to be concerned about those things any longer because we've put them in our God's hands. And He will either show us what to do or He'll take care of it. But we don't have to be consumed by the circumstances anymore. We can think of the promises and be built up in the promises that He gives. So if there's something in your life that is consuming your time and your thinking and your focus, I encourage you, find a verse and focus on that truth that takes that worry or that fear or that doubt or whatever it is away. Because then our eyes can be on Jesus and our eyes will be on Jesus. And we will have power, love, and a sound mind that we're walking in. It says that we get a sound mind when we have when our eyes are fixed, when we pray and ask God and we are focused on these things. It says He will guard our hearts and our minds. Or that's what we are doing when we're in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when we are putting those things on Him and we are trusting in Him, our minds and our hearts don't have to have worry and doubt and fear and be consumed by all the things around us. We don't have to walk around hopeless. We have that peace that gets in there. Okay? So, we fix our eyes on Jesus, on what is seen, but what is not, but what by what is not seen. Okay, second. We fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen. We walk by faith. The Bible says the righteous will walk by faith in Romans 1:17. When we're walking by faith, sometimes it's not what we see. Sometimes what we see isn't going to help us if we're just sitting there like, okay, I prayed, but this still looks terrible. You know, nothing seems to be changing here, God. We can't focus on that. We've given it to Him, so we got to focus on the truth. And when we do that, and we focus on the truth, in Romans 10:17, it says, the faith comes by hearing, and the message, hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Or the faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if we want to build our faith, if we're having a hard time having trust in God, if we're having a hard time putting our faith in Him, then get in the word. See what it says, because the more you know it, the more you know you're taken care of, the more you doubt that you have to do something about it. Not that God doesn't use you in circumstances to work things out, but we don't have to be consumed by the things around us. We don't have to waste our time trying to work things out for ourselves. We're taken care of. Our eyes are on Him. We will start to finally see the people around us. That's what we're here for. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. He's prepared good works. He's prepared. He has things for us to do. When we're doing our own thing, we're most likely not doing the things He has for us to do. If we're trying to fix things ourselves, we're wasting time instead of doing the things that He has planned and for us to do. 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, chapter 5, verse 14. I'm going to read through 21. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Right there, I have that underlined and circled because I think that right there just tells me, okay, if I'm not doing these things, maybe I don't have my eyes or a total understanding of what He did or what I have in Him. Because if I totally understand the deepness that He feels, the valuable, like I was saying earlier, He sees us valuable. He took time to plan. I mean, if we don't feel loved by God, like inside and out, and have that security and knowing He's taken care of me, it won't compel us to do anything. But if we let it really get in us, and we really let God show me, I don't feel it today, show me. If you don't, be honest with Him. He already knows. Ask Him, show me, God. I'm not feeling love today. Show me Your love. Let me put Your arms around me. Let me feel Your love so I feel compelled to give it today. Because it should be compelling us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So we should be living for Him. So from now on, we regard no one from the worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. That too, I think, has a lot. But what I want you to get is, we should be being moved by the love of God because we have it within us. And something, when I read this the other night, really God reminded me of something. And the new creation, I think, scares people sometimes, where they think, okay, I have to just give everything up then. I have to put out all my old ways. I have to give up the things that I like to do. And honestly, I went through a season, all through growing up and stuff, I love God with all my heart. I honestly can say that I live this way. Not perfectly, but this was the way of living for me. And then some circumstances took place, and I got my eyes on those circumstances, and I left the church. I left, I don't want to say I left living for God. I always believed in him. I never stopped believing in him, but I stopped doing his work and really letting him be in a relationship with me. I lost that relationship with him. And time went past, and I got married, and we had kids, and we had started going back to church. But I had told God, I said, you know, God, I miss you, but I don't want to give up my new friends, and I don't want to give up our social life with them, our partying with them, because, you know, it's kind of fun, and I don't think I should have to give that up. And you know what he said to me? That just floored me. Well, then don't. He's not forcing us to do anything. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. So we come into church, and God started to do a work in me. And pretty soon, I didn't look to those people as friends anymore, because those friends weren't really friends. We had a common thing of meeting together and drowning our sorrows in alcohol or just doing stupid things so that we could feel better for the moment, which usually caused more pain in the end. I started to see that differently. I started to think, man, this is kind of stupid. You know, what's the point to this? This causes more pain in the end, you know? I started to see, he didn't force me, but because I allowed him and said, you know, I want you back. I want that relationship. I want you to go deeper within me. He did the changing, and I became a new creation. And those things weren't hard for me to give up anymore, because pretty soon I realized he had so much more to offer that was so much better than the things I thought I had. So it's nothing he's going to force us to do, but it's something that's so worth doing. And when we put our eyes on him, he wants us to turn and be a new creation, because it's for us. It does something in us. Yes, it's for him too, but I think it's more for us. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in that, but I get so much out of it. I mean, I don't know that he needs to get anything out of it, you know. He loves us, and he gets that relationship with us, which makes him happy, which, you know, he's full of joy with. It says the angels sing when we come to him, you know. He rejoices. It's his heart. But I think I get the better deal. And then it says that when we become this new creation, we get to live for him, and he calls us and wants us to be his ambassadors, to represent him. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think President Obama is going to go and just pick anyone off the street and say, hey, well, you want to represent me in this meeting today? That's a big job. We're representing our God, creator of the universe, the one who is all-powerful, almighty. He says, you know what? I want you to represent me to this world who needs me. He's given us that job. What an honor. It shouldn't be something we have to do. It's something we should feel honored about. Just like how he looks at us, we should be honored about it and feel, wow, you know? And it says, not only that, but in John 14:12, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Jesus said this. Do you remember what Jesus did when he was on earth? He's saying we're going to be able to do greater things. Okay, let's just think a minute. He We'll start with maybe some of the things that we can say are littler, but there's still a lot. Still made a big change in someone's life. But he gave life to people. The woman at the well was brokenhearted. She had how many husbands? She had wasn't even with a man that was her husband. I'm pretty sure her life felt a mess. Her heart was broken. She was looking for love. He took time to talk to her, and she was floored because of who he was, he wouldn't be talking to her. But he took the time and gave life to her. Zacchaeus and the woman with the issue of blood, they both were people that no one liked. People that were pushed aside or they were not liked. But God took time out of his day. Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. He took time, and even though the woman was already healed, he took time and acknowledged her. Are we doing that? He raised the dead, made the blind see, healed the sick, and greater things we should do. I'm telling you, we're not going to do it, though, if we're not having our eyes on him and if we're consumed by the things around us. We won't be able to have the faith to do those things because we don't even have the faith to get through our day. You know, I got a vision when I was preparing this. You know, at that picture? And this is kind of what I've seen. I had Nate find a picture of a pool. This is in our backyard, pretend. This is your backyard, okay? Pretty nice, huh? Now, say it's one of those 90-degree days, and you're telling everybody about your pool, but you're not using it. Wouldn't that be kind of ridiculous? Someone say insane? Or how about you go this way? You're in the pool, and you have all your friends over, but you won't let them in. You think they'd like you? Now, God has given us so much. Are we going to waste it by not getting in and using it? Are we going to waste it by just keeping it to ourselves because it's not just for us? Freely we have received, freely we should be giving. We have so much to give. We have so much that we don't need it all. We're supposed to be giving it. 2 Corinthians 6, this is the message. I'm guessing it's like around verse 14 because with message it doesn't have the verses in it, but I have it just wrote out here where I can read it to you. I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter the wide open spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. We are precious. We have so much to give. Let's give it and let's live it. Let's open our eyes. I have another movie clip.
Will, if you get a lot of time, are you really going to give it away?
I've only ever had a day. How much do you need? How can you live with yourself watching people die right next to you?
You don't watch. You close your eyes.
Let's not close our eyes anymore. Let's not watch people around us suffering and act like we have nothing to give them. We've been giving so much. Let's not waste it. It's amazing what a reward it is when we get used. I don't know if you've ever taken a step out of in faith and just touched someone's life. I think I get more out of it than they do sometimes. And, you know, don't let the raising the dead or healing the sick or making the blind see scare you, because those are a part, and I believe we are called to do those things. But there's also just the things, and God doesn't call you to do the big things when you're not ready. He'll start you off slow. Just tell him, I want to be used by you. Let me see today. Sometimes it's just a lady in the grocery store, and you feel inside, I just need to tell her everything's okay. Why would you think of that? Obviously, God's telling you to do that. You do it, you have her start crying, and she's like, I was just asking God for a sign. You know? Or sometimes they won't act like it meant anything at all because they're embarrassed, but then they'll go in the bathroom and cry for a while. We don't know what's going on, but when we are used by God and we step out in obedience, there's such a reward, there's such a fulfillment, such a meaning for life. So I have a song here before I close I want your eyes to listen to. And just kind of, you can close your eyes, you can stand, do whatever you want, but I just listen to it and listen to the words and let it get in you. Circumstances around us and are focused on Him, we can make a difference and we can make a big change in so many lives. So let's just close in prayer. Lord, I thank You and I praise You for this word. I thank You that You see us. valuable and that you see us and love us so much and that you are even willing to use us. You could do things on your own, but you choose to give us a part in your plan. We are honored, and Lord, we just ask that you would show us this week, remind us this week of how precious and valuable and how much you love us and how much you love others too, Lord. Remind us and help us to see and not to waste any more time focusing on things that you've taken care of. Focus on things that we don't need to worry about, but that we can focus on you and the people around us and what you want to do. And so open our eyes so we can see this week and give us the faith to step out. In Jesus' name, amen.